Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A renowned author, playwright, and storyteller is visiting Central College. How does one tell a good story, and why is storytelling so important? Let's go in depth with artist Kevin Kling of Minneapolis and Ann Wilkinson, professor of theater at Central College. So, Kevin, what makes a great story?
To me, every great story is a love story. And it doesn't, I don't know if the love is in the story or the telling of the story, but I think every great story has love in it.
That simple?
To me, it is, yeah. Because I think that's, love is how we are connected in a healthy way. And I think that a great story connects us. A great story tells us how we belong, how we fit in the world. And so love is really the connector. We're always looking for those things that connect our inner and outer landscapes. And to me, love is one of those bridges. And a story is how you cross the bridge.
So how do you tell those stories then? You just don't say Jack loved Jill or whatever. How do you tell a good love story then?
Well, sometimes the love isn't about a couple. It's your love of a place or a love of a people or a love of the topic. Or about my grandmother. I tell family stories. And so sometimes that's where the love comes from. I had a friend who was a native flute player, an Oglala flute player, and he said that he heard every song on the flute was a love song, and he never believed that. And then his daughter was born, and he played her song, and he said, now I know what they mean, and I agree. Every song is a love song. And it was just because her spirit could go through him and be infused in that beautiful instrument. And if you're using love to drive a story or to be the topic of a story, it's just going to be that much better and probably connect with somebody in the audience.
Okay, any other elements to a good story that sort of compel us to listen and be fascinated by?
Well, I think the difference between storytelling and story writing in this regard, I think, is that when you're working with storytelling, you're working with imagery. You're not working with words. If you memorize words, that's what's going to be conjured in the minds of your audience. So you're working in terms of imagery. And so my favorite storytellers are the ones that really conjure a world inside of my imagination. They also touch on something that is already true inside of me. Like if I have a really good storytelling evening, people don't come up to me and tell me what I told, they come up to me and tell me something of their lives that was connected by that story. And so what you're trying to do in a story is, it's like Shakespeare says in the opening prologue for Henry V, you know, this wooden O can't hold the Battle of Agincourt, but with what we do, you'll be able to imagine it and perceive it in your own imagination. And that's what you're trying to do in a storytelling, is unfold that imagination and have that explode inside the audience. And also, that's on an individual basis. You also want to have a communal sense. It's really an event that creates a small community, and that's another thing I love, too. You were either there or you weren't at a really good storytelling.
And then you go back and you tell other people about it and how great the event was.
Remember that? Yeah, remember that. And that I can hold in my memory evenings of stories that changed my life. If I go to a really good storytelling, I'm good for 30 stinkers, I figure.
Good for 30 bats.
I can hit 30 stinkers after a hot one.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with storyteller Kevin Kling and Ann Wilkinson, professor of theater at Central College. So would you rather write a story or speak a story?
You know, most of my stories aren't written. Most of the stories that, in fact, I've written two books, and both of them were written 15, 20 years after I'd told all those stories. So they were created through the oral tradition of telling and retelling and retelling. And so they were actually written after I'd told them for 20 years instead of the other way around. Because when a story comes through the oral tradition, it's held together through invisible threads. It's not the same as taking something off the page. It's created through an emotion, or it's created through a facial gesture, or it's created through things that hold an audience in ways that a page don't, a page can't. And so that's why, stories are different. They're a different animal. And so when we're talking about writing or telling, stories come from a different form of creation.
Well, you said that one of the best things that can happen to you is after you tell a story, somebody else comes to you with a story.
Right.
Does that mean that you've engaged them effectively? Or I'm thinking that's sort of a normal part of a conversation, isn't it? We're sitting here and you say something to me, and then I say something back in response. And so that's what you try to get to connect at that level?
You couldn't have hit on a better word. A good storytelling is a conversation. Granted, it's pretty heavily one-sided. But when I'm doing a storytelling, I'm reading the audience like you would somebody you were engaged in conversation. And so you're shifting it in that way. You're keeping them entertained. You're learning who they are. When you have a conversation with somebody, it really is tailored to the person you're talking to. You're really trying to make a connection. And it's the same with an evening of stories. I'll go in with a certain set of stories in the beginning of the evening, but that can change, and it does change, given what the audience comes back with in terms of response, in terms of what they want, what they don't want, and by their reaction, as you would in a conversation, I shift it up, I change, I go into a different direction.
Now, when you walk out into a crowd and you greet them and you look out and you see them all sitting there, do you think about your purpose and what is that purpose? Is it to entertain? Is it to, change the world? What's your purpose?
A little of all that. Yeah, I think it is. But, again, it's the different thing what an audience wants or needs on a different night. I've gone in to storytellings already to get up on my soapbox and let them have, really lay into a topic or, something. And all of a sudden I'll realize, these guys just need to laugh. They need to laugh way more than they need some kind of a lecture, and so it'll be an evening of humorous stories, because that's what the audience on a night like that needs. One time I did an evening of stories for insurance salesmen. It was the night before the vote on Obamacare, on the affordable health care. So these guys knew whichever way the vote fell, their jobs were going to change tomorrow. And they didn't know how it was going to change, but they knew they weren't going to have the same job in the morning that they had that day, just because whichever way the vote fell. So these guys were so uptight. I knew I couldn't tell anything funny because they weren't going to laugh. If I told anything tragic, they would have all gone out the window. So I decided to tell love stories. I told these insurance guys love stories all night, and it went as well as I think it could have gone. But that was what was needed on that night. That's what those guys especially needed on a difficult night.
Well, how do you know? You look at the audience. How do you know what they need?
One of the things I do is, we were talking about football earlier, and a football coach will have certain plays in the beginning of the game, and by those plays, suss out what the other team is like, and so there's certain set plays that really help you determine what you're dealing with. And I'll have certain set stories in the beginning of an evening, and by the audience's response, by the way they want to go, I'll come to a fork and I'll say, okay, this is what they've given me, this is the way we go. And every really good storyteller I know, the really, really good ones, will come in without a clue as to what they're going to say, and they'll have several hundred stories in their head, and they'll look around the room and off they go. And that's why the best storytellers I know are all in their 70s and 80s. We lost last year at Catherine Wyndham. She was 94. She was the queen. She was the best. But it took her 94 years to get there, and she used every year, and she was unbelievable. And I know she didn't know what she was going to tell when she got up in front of people. She just started talking, and out it came. And an hour later, you just were on your feet.
More in depth after this. I I continued my conversation with storyteller Kevin Kling and Ann Wilkinson, professor of theater at Central College. So, Ann, what made you want to bring Kevin in?
Well, I have been in love with Kevin's work for a long time. Just his CDs accompany me on road trips. I had read A Dog Says How. I've been just really tickled with his view of the world. And I love his accent. I know he says he doesn't have one, but he does. And a number of years ago, I was teaching a children's theater class. A friend of mine who had been in a play in Des Moines said, oh, my absolute favorite role that I've ever done in a children's play was in Lily's Purple Plastic Purse. And that was written by Kevin Kling. It was adapted for the stage by Kevin. So in my attempts to track it down, to share it with my children's theater class, I was able to get a hold of Kevin. They shared the play with us for the class. And as soon as I was looking for something to do this year, and I've looked at this play for a couple of years, the ice fishing play, which I'm directing, we just started talking about here in the department, wouldn't it be great to drag Kevin down here for a while and let the kids meet him and start to work on this? And as you know, I've been really fascinated with the idea of storytelling, because the couple of pieces that I've worked on that were newer pieces, including Dead Man's Curve, I felt was a storytelling piece. And I've been paying attention to The Moth, which is on NPR. There is a huge growth in interest in storytelling in the younger population in New York and Chicago and some of the major cities, partially because they're so cut off from each other by electronics that they're now starting to get together and share stories. And so there are events happening where they just spontaneously gather and share stories. And so this just seemed like a great fit all the way around.
Well, and he's here to work with the students on the ice fishing play, right?
He's here to do a lot. Oh, he's okay. He's going to be around to answer questions for the kids who are in the ice fishing play. Today, if the snow doesn't tear us apart, we're going to be over at the library, Pella Public Library, at 4 o'clock so he can meet some of the kids in town. He's doing writer's reading for us on Thursday night, the 20th at 7:30 over at Cox Snow. And then the big deal for us is Saturday night, February 22nd at 7:30. We've actually persuaded Kevin to do a one-man show for us. I think he's talking about love. A little bit.
I am in that, yeah.
Breaking Hearts and Taking Names, and that will be here at the Cridenier Theater. So we have a lot of things. And in the meantime, I'm dragging him around from class to class and letting people meet him and talk to him.
Well, this is a neat opportunity for the students, the college community, and then the community at large.
Yes, very much so. Much for us to do.
Kevin, do you have a quick story for us?
Yeah, let me think here for a second. You know what? This is a story that my grandma told me. Back when I was a kid, there were two kinds of fairy tales. Fairy tales I hated and fairy tales I hadn't heard yet. Because they always ended bad for guys with disabilities. So it was, Snow White and all the different ones that just, I would think, man, when is the guy with the disability going to win? And my grandma told me this story. She said, no, stories can end any way you want them to end. If that story doesn't, and she was right. I mean, when the Grimms were taking those folk tales down, they could end any way they want. That's just the way they were. And so here's one of the stories she told me. She said, back in the days when pots and pans could talk, which indeed they still do, there was a man that would go to the river with two pots every day, fill them with water, and bring the water home. Well, one day it was discovered a small crack in one of the pots. And as the weeks wore on, that crack widened until by the time the man got home, all the water had leaked out of the pot. Finally, one day the pot turned to the man and said, please, please, every day you take me to the river, and every day the water leaks out. Please replace me with a better pot. And the man looked at the pot, and he turned to the path, and he said, look at the path I walk every day. And the pot turned and looked down the path. And on the side of the path with the pot without the crack, it was rocky and craggy. And on the side of the path with the pot with the crack, wildflowers grew. And the man said, every day you water those flowers, every day you make a difficult journey beautiful, I think I'll keep you.
Wow. Could you go over those events again?
All right. We have at the Geisler Library this week, which is February 20th, Thursday night at 7:30 p.m., Writers Reading. And on Saturday, February 22nd at 7:30 p.m. at Cryedeneer Theater, we have Kevin Kling in Breaking Hearts and Taking Names, a one-man show, which promises to be heartwarming and funny. And on February 26th to March 1st, we have the Ice Fishing Play, written by Kevin Kling, performed by Central College students, and that is also here at Cryedeneer Theater.
Yay!
Yay!
Well, do you think you're going to get a story out of your visit to Central College in Pella?
Oh, yeah. I already have. I mean, this snowfall is bringing some stuff. Yeah, there will be something happen here. It always, this week, something's going to happen. I'm not worried.
He's already happy with the pastries.
Oh, man. What are you guys? I'm sure that's legal, but I don't know. There's something in there.
Thanks to Kevin Kling and Ann Wilkinson for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.